Hello, I'm Alfonso Quiros of Con Edison, and I'm excited to host today's show. You are listening to WHUD 100.7, and I'm pleased to be here with our Westchester Scholastic Sports Athlete of the Week, Anthony DiMatteo, who plays football at Mayo Peck High School in Mayo Peck. Anthony, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Congratulations, a great achievement. There are many, a lot of student athletes in the county, and you rose above others to earn this honor. Let's start talking a little bit more about you and share some information with our audience. Anthony is a senior, and he's the son of Dominic and Diane DiMatteo. Anthony led the Mayo Peck high school football team to a 44-6 victory of Peneus to secure the number 2 seed in the Section 1 playoff for Class A North. Anthony, tell us a little bit more about your exciting season.
Yeah, so especially like an award like this, my dad, who, as you mentioned, is also my coach, he kind of preaches to the team that any individual award reflects on team success. So while this is a great honor, I couldn't do this without my teammates. And I just think that, you know, if you talk to other coaches when you scout us, it's really hard to hone in on one player, because I think we just have so many dynamic athletes. It's really easy to watch film on an opposing team when you really only have to worry about one player. But we just have a number of really great players. And I think that kind of speaks volume as to why we're 5-2 and then why we've been mentioned as a dangerous team coming into the playoffs. And like I said, this is a great honor, but it really reflects how good and how talented this team is and how resilient we've been, because we've had to go through so much during the pandemic. And I couldn't be prouder of my guys for helping me get this award.
Now, you've got an incredible record and your future looks even brighter. How did you first get involved in football?
Well, actually, it's a funny story. So I played flag at a very young age, like most of my peers. And you were eligible to play in Mayo Peck. You're eligible to play tackle football in second grade. But I have a later birthday, so I had to play flag another year, which I was totally fine with because I was doing really well and I had a lot of success in that. So I started tackle football in third grade because my dad has been a coach, a high school coach for 10 plus years, a college coach for 25 years. I don't know if you know my grandpa, but he's been all over New York in coaching. So I've kind of been surrounded by football my whole life. And I can't tell you how close I was to quitting in third grade. And my mom was actually the one who talked me out of it. I did not have the same love for football as I do now. And my youth coach, Dan Callahan, who I really respect, he's a great guy. He's kind of always said that he thinks that I've had a love for football more each year since third grade. So I started in third grade, but I was seconds away from quitting. There was something about it. I didn't like it. It might have been that I couldn't really find something that I was good at in third grade, because in third grade in football, you run the ball a lot, and I didn't really discover that my strong suit was throwing the ball. So it was really tough for someone like me to find a love for football like I do now as a senior, throwing the ball 20-plus times a game and really finding my niche. So that was tough to find at such a young age, and I just want to thank my mom for believing in me and helping me persevere through a process. And it's really something to be said about what football can teach someone at such a young age.
Yeah, it's always important to have good parents with you, and you're very lucky to have both your mom and your dad supporting you on this. Now, how much time do you spend in an average week working on your game?
I got to say, I've actually been filling out college applications, so I know this off the top of my head. It's got to be at least 20, because you got practice from Monday to Thursday, and that usually sums up to about 15 hours, because we practice 3 or 4 hours a day, just kind of perfecting the game plan. And obviously, you have the game, which is really chaotic leading up to, and the games are usually about 2 hours. And then right win or loss, right on Saturday, we come right back in, we watch film, we get better. So we spend just as much time as anyone, but we really make the use of our time. No second of those 20 hours is wasted. We're always doing something. We're always being active. We're always being productive. And I really commend our coaching staff for staying honest and the guys for really buying in, because the 20 hour a week commitment is not easy, especially for an adolescent. And like I said, it's just another lesson to learn that if you really want something, you really have to stay committed to it. And I think football, especially this past year with how resilient we've had to be with injuries and stuff, it really teaches you the life lessons that you're going to learn later on in life.
That's a really great attitude. And yes, you're absolutely right. I feel like with football, because it's such a physical sport, and you've got a lot of physical contact with other players, that sometimes your emotions are, you really have to sort of pep them up in order to succeed. But then again, do you have to like try to manage your emotions so that you could really focus on, you know, exactly what your goals are? So talk to us a little bit about how your emotions play a part in this.
Yeah, so we always talk about, and I'm more of an offensive player, so not much as me, but for a defensive player and just a football player in general, you kind of have to be like wired a little bit different to hit another person every snap. So emotions can totally get the best of you. I mean, you see unsportsmanlike conduct and penalties and all that stuff, because you see guys get the best their emotions, let their emotions get the best of them, and you really don't see that with us. I think as a captain myself, we really try to steer clear of that. And our other three captains, Steven Perrone, Adam Montalvo, and Ryan Rondeau, all three of us are really on top of that. So emotions can definitely get the best of you. And while it's not a great excuse, it's just part of the game. It just shows the passion that people really have for football and the love they have for the sport. That kind of sets it apart from other sports, and not to just keep listing things, but it's just another lesson that you can learn. It's just, you can't let your emotions get the best of you, because there will be consequences. A 15-yard penalty late in the game could really cost you. So that's why we preach sportsmanship, and we preach staying level-headed. My grandpa always says, and my dad preaches it, and I'll probably preach it to my kids, or if I get into coaching, the highs are higher and the lows are lower. You can't get too high when you get on a win. You can't get too low on a loss. You always kind of have to stay level-headed. So there are trillions of different emotions that could happen over the course of a football game, but you just have to stay level-headed, and that's really something to be said for life too.
Now let's move on to your training. How do you stay in shape other than playing football? Do you run? Do you stretch? Do you play other sports? Can you talk a little bit about how you train?
Yeah, so I'm actually a three-sport athlete. I also participate in Mayapak's baseball and basketball teams. Unfortunately, when COVID happened, we weren't able to get the normal fall season that we were able to. We weren't really able to leave the house. So my training, and I started lifting weights and really taking pride in cardiovascular activity in eighth grade. My dad really got me into that, but it's hard to train all year round when you're always playing a sport. I participate in a summer baseball team on the Taconic Rangers, so I'm pretty busy, and it's tough to find time to train, especially because, like I said, we probably spend one out of our 20 hours in a football week lifting or trying to get faster or training, because there's just the mental aspect of it. So it's hard to find time with training, and I think the only good thing that came out of COVID was it really, like I said, it allowed me to take a step up with my training. I got to take it to the next level. I saw numbers and lifting starting to jump, and I think that I just feel when you're able to lift more and you're stronger, you feel more comfortable on the football field, especially as a quarterback, as protected I am from my amazing O-line. It's tough to kind of, when you're out there and you feel kind of undersized. So training is just so important, and I think that really took a step up for me during COVID. And like I said, being a three-sport athlete and I feel like this award speaks volumes to my academics. I want to achieve the highest academics possible. It's tough to find time. There's only 24 hours in a day to train. And like I said, COVID really helped me in that aspect. And I've been really pleased with the numbers I've been putting up in the weight room, which is just as important as the numbers you put up on the football field, because those two things reflect each other.
I'm Alfonso Quiroz with Con Edison, and you're listening to WHUD 100.7. We're speaking with our Westchester Scholastic Sports Athlete of the Week, Anthony DiMatteo, who plays football at Mayopec High School in Mayopec. I also want to introduce your coach and your dad, Dominic. Dominic, tell us a little bit about your history with this award and Anthony's work habits and game, and tell us a little bit more about what makes him so successful.
The Con Edison Award, as you know, is a very special award for the entire Lower Hudson Valley. It's truly a prestigious award for student athletes, and I'm thrilled, our family's thrilled, that Anthony won this award, because we're part of three generations that have been affiliated with the Con Ed Award. My dad won the award in 1959, when he played at Stepanak. I believe the game was against Chaminade. I won the award in 1989 when I played for my dad at Roosevelt High School in Yonkers, when we played Mount St. Michael. It was a unique situation where a public played a private, and we won, just for the record. And now to have Anthony win it in 2021, it's almost surreal. It's something my dad and I have spoken about. It's something that we've shown both of my sons, Anthony and Dominic. But to sit here and do the interview and speak about it and know that it's happened, I mean, it's truly something that we're going to be able to talk about for the rest of our lives. So we're immensely proud of Anthony's accomplishment, but to do this together as a family for such a prestigious award, I could not be more thrilled. Speaking to Anthony's work ethic, it's hard to really sum it up because he works so hard in all areas, academically, athletically, socially, you know, making effort to spend time with his friends and his family. So I think it really just comes down to consistent effort in all aspects of his life. And as far as it relates to the football piece, you know, I think I've been able to structure a pretty good plan for him 12 months a year to manage the fact that he is a three-sport athlete. But the bottom line is he has to want to do it. And I think that's what's made him different, his desire to do it. I've been a lifelong coach, physical education teacher, so coming up with a plan isn't difficult for me. He's at an advantage because his dad is a coach and I can give him that plan, but he has to want to do it. And I think that was the biggest change in him over the last 2 years, really embracing what legitimate strength, speed, and conditioning could do for him, not just as a football player, but as a three-sport athlete. And what we always preach is the training piece is so important. I think what gets lost all too often is understanding that it's really three phases, right? It's training, it's nutrition, and rest. And the rest piece really gets lost with our athletes today because they're inundated with travel sports. And the travel sport model is really based on gameplay. And that's a whole nother conversation. But when the kids are in gameplay all the time, it's difficult to train, not just from strength and speed standpoint, but from a technique standpoint, from a skill standpoint. So we worked very hard to put together a 12-month program where not only was he strength training and speed training and conditioning, but he was paying attention to his nutrition. He was taking care of having time to rest, be social so that he had that balance, and then also participate in all three sports to the best of his ability. But I think at the end of the day, it really came down to the fact that he wanted to do it. And all I had to do was lay out the plan, and he is the one who executed it and did it. And that's why he's had the success he's had, and he's having the success he's having.
Now, Anthony, I know that you've really excelled on the field, but are you a sports fan? Can you sit and watch a game and enjoy it? And then, you know, do you have a favorite sport that you like to watch, or team that you follow, or any favorite athlete?
Yeah, I think I kind of, and my friends could kind of speak to this too, I kind of devote my Sundays to watching the NFL. I feel like there's nothing like the NFL, just seeing people compete at the sport I love most, at the highest level, just kind of seeing what that's about. It's always been a dream of mine, and obviously it'd be a tough one to achieve, and not many people do it, but just seeing where those guys are kind of at, just seeing these freaks of nature perform on television. I've been a Ravens fan since I was 4 years old. My grandpa knew Ray Rice very well, so we've kind of always been Ravens fans in our house. So I, like I said, I devote my Sundays to watching football. I have a fantasy football team that I follow regularly, so it's really easy to get involved in something that the NFL really does a good job in making you feel like you're a part of with fantasy football and having a favorite team that you can follow. I love watching the MLB and the NBA too. As a Knicks fan, seeing them get better is really heartwarming as a lifelong Knicks fan, because it's been tough. And I like watching the Yankees, but I feel like there's just nothing like Sunday Night Football. There's nothing like turning on Red Zone and watching eight different football games, just seeing guys compete at the highest level at a sport that really all of America can kind of come together and watch. So it's really awesome to watch those guys play on Sunday.
Anthony, along with your success as a football player, you're also involved with a lot of other activities like president of the Spanish Club, Students Against Cancer Club, and the Football Leadership Council. Let's go through some of these. How did you get involved with these organizations, and what drew you to them?
MAYPAC kind of, they almost force you to get involved. They just want people to kind of have something to be involved with. And you, I look around and see a lot of the people in these clubs, and a lot of them don't really have anything to do. They kind of did after school, they'll just go home. And it's really good to see that people are just getting involved in something. As an athlete who knows that, I can very well just say, no, I'm involved in football. I don't need to waste my time with something like this. It really is good to see a community from people from all different realms come together. And kind of, like I said, like you said, I'm the president of the Spanish Club. I've seen people that I would have never seen before if I didn't get involved in that. And I'm really thankful for MAYPAC and our high school and Dr. Lawrence, our principal, for kind of guiding people to get involved in these kinds of clubs, because it really forces you to have new relationships outside of people from football. Because I know when I go to college, it's not going to be 10,000 people who love football. It's going to be 10,000 people from all different parts of the country who are kind of just from totally different backgrounds. So it kind of gives you the communication aspect and that little preview to college, to where you can make new friends, you can talk to people who aren't like you and actually find something in common. And I think that without MEAPAC kind of guiding people to get involved, you would just lose that aspect. And that's something that really got lost in COVID last year, just the communication aspect, because you see people nowadays, it's a little tough to communicate because it's been hard. People haven't done something like that in a year. So just to see people getting involved in the school, no matter what you do after school.
Anthony, what do you have in mind for a career?
I've had a top three. I love math. I love how the brain works. So psychology and education. My dad and my grandpa are both educators, and I think that would be an awesome way to impact younger kids.
Well, you've had a great athletic and academic career, Anthony, and you're just getting started. Congratulations on your selection, and I want to thank you for your time. You've been listening to our interview with Anthony DiMatteo, who plays football at MEAPAC High School in MEAPAC on WHUD 100.7. I'm Alfonso Quiroz of Con Edison. Be safe and join us next time.